إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This morning, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to begin a new subject after spending the past week or so dealing with the benefits that may be derived from the story of Luqman al-Hakim. Alhamdulillah, I think that there were many, many points of benefit that whoever applies them would certainly come out better than they were before. And we hope that, inshallah, the topic that we are beginning this morning will also be equally beneficial. And certainly the benefit is in applying it in our lives. And having beneficial knowledge, the benefit of the beneficial knowledge is in acting upon it, accompanying it with righteous actions. Our topic this morning is a taqwa and its effects, and the effect that taqwa has on the human being who observes it, and the characteristics of the people of taqwa, the pious, and their recompense, the reward of those who observe taqwa, by Shaykh Rabi' bin Hadi and Madkhali, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. The Shaykh, he begins, after introducing the topic, with the definition of a taqwa, the Sharia definition, and the linguistic definition, and then a few ayats from the Quran and a few hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before going into the descriptions of the people of taqwa that are found in the Quran and the Sunnah and the reward of the people of taqwa. Today, inshallah, we'd just like to briefly read the beginning of the topic, the introduction to the topic, and the definitions, the Sharia definition and the linguistic definition, and a few ayat from the Quran and a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that show the importance of at-taqwa. The Shaykh, he begins, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His help, and seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the ill effects of our deeds. Whosoever Allah guides, none can misguide, and whomsoever Allah leads astray, none can guide. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah alone, and that He has no partner, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His servant and His messenger. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. And the Shaykh begins with this ayah from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 102nd ayah, the meaning of which is, O you who believe, fear Allah, observe taqwa of Allah in the way that He deserves, fear Allah as He should be feared, and do not die except in a state of Islam. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. O mankind, observe taqwa of your Rabb, yani be dutiful, obedient to your Lord who created you from a single person, that is Adam alayhi salam, and from him he created his wife Hawa, that is Eve, and from them both he created many men and women, and fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and do not cut the ties of relations of the womb, the kinship. Surely Allah is ever an all-watcher over you. And this is from Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 1st Ayat. And finally the Shaykh, he says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah and fear Him. Yani observe taqwa of Allah and speak always the truth. Yani a word that is straight, that doesn't have any crookedness in it, no deviation in it. Yani that is correct and right. Speak always a word of truth. And He will direct you to do righteous good deeds. And He will forgive you your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, he has indeed achieved a great achievement. That is, he will be saved from the hellfire and will be admitted into paradise. And each of these ayats are ayats of great importance and require some discussion, but perhaps another time. The Shaykh, he goes on to say, as for what follows, indeed the most truthful speech is the speech of Allah. And the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the most evil of matters are the newly invented ones. And indeed, every newly invented matter is an innovation in religion. Indeed, every newly invented matter is an innovation. And every innovation in religion is a going astray. And every going astray is in the hellfire. Indeed, this is a good opportunity for us to meet with our brothers and sons and to discuss this important matter, which is from the most important or the most serious and most important of subjects, about which you see and hear a great deal from the tongues, but which very rarely touches the hearts. And the Shaykh, he is beginning this topic now by calling us to account, to pay attention to ourselves, especially in seeking knowledge and learning, in reading the Quran and the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, this is a topic of great importance about which we see and hear a great deal of tongues, a lot of people talking about it, but which very rarely touches the hearts. So the speech is plentiful, very, very plentiful, about the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It is circulating upon the tongues, but the hearts, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows as to those hearts in which reside His taqwa and His mindfulness. So whoever from us is plentiful in his speech about it, then let him fear Allah in truth. Walaykum salam. Then let him fear Allah in truth. And let this matter reach his heart. And this is what is required. And if we take this to heart, and if we take this matter seriously, then indeed it is a tremendous benefit that we are careful not just to express on our tongues that which is right and good, but rather to apply it in our lives, in reality. So I ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that He make us from those whose speech and actions are in agreement, and that the reality of our actions matches that which we speak. That which harms the Muslims is babbling and excessive speech, but what is needed from them is action with truth and sincerity. And we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to make us and you all from the people of taqwa. Ameen. And the subject of taqwa is a great subject. The Shaykh begins with the definitions, the Sharia linguistic definition of taqwa. He says, at-taqwa, its meaning in the Sharia and linguistically. At-taqwa, in its Sharia meaning, it is a comprehensive word, combining every fundamental of Islam and its branches, because it is like al-Iman and al-Islam and al-Birr. As with these comprehensive words, if they are mentioned in combination with another, then they have one meaning, and its associated word carries another meaning. Yani he means to say that like al-Islam and al-Iman, if they are mentioned together, if they are combined in the same statement, then each of them have their own distinct meaning. Yani each has a separate meaning, a special particular meaning to it. Al-Islam has its meaning, yani the apparent deeds of the people. And Iman has its specific meaning, the internal, inner, yani actions of the heart, and the belief in the heart, and the speech of the heart. So each of them have their particular meaning. The apparent actions is Islam, and the inner actions are Iman. However, if they are mentioned separately, either one of them contains its own meaning and the meaning of the other. And likewise, al-birr and al-taqwa, if they are mentioned together, each has their own meaning. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, وَتَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. And in this ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to cooperate with one another in birr and al-taqwa, al-birr and taqwa each has its own meaning. And Allah knows best, but the apparent meaning here of al-birr is to do good righteous deeds, and al-taqwa is to abstain from sinful behavior. However, if either of them is mentioned separately, then it contains its own particular meaning and the meaning of the other. This is the point that the Shaykh is making, that these words are comprehensive words that combine all of Islam. They combine all of Islam, al-Iman, al-Islam, al-Birr, al-Taqwa. And if they are mentioned in combination with another, then each one has its particular meaning that is associated with it, and the other has its meaning. However, if it is mentioned on its own, individually, it encompasses its own meaning and the meaning of other words. So this great word, at-taqwa, means establishing all that Allah, glorified be He, has ordered, and believing in everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us about, and keeping clear of all that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has prohibited. Yani the Shaykh is saying here, and the scholars have given many definitions of a taqwa, but he's saying here, and he's given a definition of taqwa as establishing all that Allah has commanded and avoiding all that Allah has prohibited, and believing in all that Allah has informed us about. At-taqwa, linguistically, it is that you place a protective barrier between yourself and that which you fear and are scared of, thereby protecting you from its hurt and harm. Yani protecting yourself from something that you fear by placing a barrier between you. That barrier, that shield, that protective matter, it is a taqwa. Having the taqwa of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is to place a protective barrier between you and between that which incurs His wrath, which will not come about except with true Iman and righteous deeds. Yani a person will not be protected from the wrath of Allah, from the anger of Allah, from the punishment of Allah, except through true Iman and righteous deeds. And this will protect you by Allah from the wrath of Allah, from His anger, and from His punishment on the day of resurrection. Here the Shaykh mentions a few ayats from the Quran, and there are many, and a few hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At-taqwa in the ayat of the Quran and the prophetic hadith. Indeed Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has obligated having taqwa in him, or taqwa of him, in several ayat. Yani Allah has made it obligatory upon the people to observe taqwa of him. And he has praised the people of taqwa. He has informed many times of the reward of the people of taqwa and the fruits of having fear of him, the exalted, the majestic. A session such as this is not sufficient for a detailed discussion of this topic, but we will present that which Allah inspires us with from the Quranic and prophetic sources on this subject. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, as you have heard in that which we recited during the introduction, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ. Yani, O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared. Alaykum as-salam. Fear Allah as He should be feared, in the way that He has a right to be feared. Yani, fully, correctly, properly, thoroughly. What is the meaning of fearing Allah as He should be feared? This was interpreted by the great Imam, the noble companion, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, one of the scholars of fiqh from the companions, where he, that is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, said that fearing Allah as he should be feared means أن يطاع فلا يعصى. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be obeyed and he should not be disobeyed. وأن يذكر فلا ينسى. And that Allah be remembered and that He not be forgotten. وَأَنْ يُشْكَرَ فَلَا يُكْفَرَ. And that Allah be thanked, that we be grateful and appreciative to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that we do not deny His favors, yani with kufr, yani kufr al-ni'm. Yani Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, and he made us to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani observing taqwa of him the way he deserves that it be observed, is that we obey him and we are obedient to him without being disobedient. This is Allah's right, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And that he be remembered and not forgotten, and that he be thanked and not yani denied, that his favors not be denied. And this means that we should remember Allah all the time and be grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. And this should lead us to being obedient to Him and worshipping Him in the best manner, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith, in one of the narrations, that is the narration of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, and in another narration similarly, he said to Anas ibn Malik, he said to Mu'adh, Ya Mu'adh, Wallahi, إني أحبك. Indeed, I love you. And this, يعني, appears to be a manner of letting Mu'adh know that what is about he is about to be advised with is of the greatest importance. It is the advice of one who loves for the one that he loves. He said, never leave off reciting after every prayer, اللهم أعني على ذكرك وشكرك وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ. اللَّهُمَّ أَعِنِّي عَلَى ذِكْرِكَ. O Allah, help me, assist me. In what? In remembering you. وَشُكْرِكَ. And in being grateful to you. وَحُسْنِ عِبَادَتِكَ. And to worshipping you, and in worshipping you in the best manner. Yani, help me. Walaykum salam. I am in need of help. Yani, the person intends to worship Allah, but they also recognize that they will not be successful in worshipping Allah except that Allah helps them. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us again and again and again in that which we recite in our salat every day and every rak'ah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You alone do we worship and you alone do we seek help from. Yani that we intend, we are set on worshipping Allah, but we know that we will not be successful in doing that except with His help. So we're asking Allah to help us to remember Him and to help us to be grateful to Him and to help us to worship Him in the best manner. Whoever remembers Allah perhaps will be successful in being grateful to Him. Whoever doesn't remember Allah, they will not be grateful. But if one remembers Allah, perhaps they will also remember His favors, worldly favors and religious favors that He has given to us, and this will be a means to helping us to be thankful, and whoever is thankful, this should lead him to worshipping Allah in the best manner. Not just any kind of way, but worshipping Allah in the best manner. And I want to mention here, yani, from the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, and his explanation of the second part of this ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمِينَ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die except that you are as Muslims, yani in state of Islam, yani muwahidun, those who are establishing the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in this ayat, he mentions a very beautiful statement, and it is based upon a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This narrative from Jabir, he attributed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's reported by Ahmed and Hakim and others, and Shaykh al-Albani said that it is sahih. Man mata ala shay'in ba'athahu Allah alayhi. Man mata ala shay'in ba'athahu Allah alayhi. That whoever dies upon something, Allah will raise him up. Allah will resurrect him upon that which he died upon. This is a marfu hadith from narrated by Jabir radiallahu anhu. And based upon this hadith, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, and Allah knows best, says that the meaning of وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, it is حَافِذُوا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فِي حَالِ صِحَّتِكَ وَسَلَامَتِكَ لِتَمُوتُ عَلَيْهِ. حَافِذُوا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ, yani protect and preserve the Islam in your life all the time. Protect it and preserve it. Guard it. Be upon it all the time. Give attention to your Islam all the time. فِي حَالِ صِحَّتِكَ وَسَلَامَتِكَ, especially when you are in good health and you are safe and secure. Yani when it is possible and easier for you to protect and preserve your Islam. Protect and preserve your Islam in the condition when you are in good health and when you are safe and secure, لِتَمُوتُ عَلَيْهِ, so that you will die upon it. Yani guard your Islam all the time, so that whenever your life is taken, you will die upon Islam. فَإِنَّ الْكَرِيمِ قَدْ أَجْرَ عَادَتَهُ بِكَرَمِهِ أَنُّهُ مَنْ عَاشَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ بُعِثَ عَلَيْهِ فَعِيَاذًا بِاللَّهِ مِنْ خِلَافِ ذَلِكَ. يعني الحافظ ابن كثير says, يعني guard your Islam in your condition of good health and when you are safe and secure, so that you may die upon it. So that you may die upon it. If you are constantly, continuously guarding your Islam, then inshallah you will die upon it. فَإِنَّ الْكَرِيمِ قَدْ أَجْرَ عَادَتَهُ بِكَرَمِهِ. Because Al-Kareem, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is generous, He has made it such that his aada, yani his custom, his way, due to his karam, due to his generosity, it is from the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَنَّهُ مَنْ عَاشَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ, that whoever lives upon something, Allah will allow him to die upon it. Whoever lives upon something, then Allah, that is from his generosity, he has made it his way, that whoever lives upon something, he will die upon it. وَمَنْ مَاتَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ بُعِثَ عَلَيْهِ, and whoever dies upon something, he will be resurrected upon it. And we seek refuge in Allah from dying in any other condition, yani than Islam. So this is the favor of Allah, who is generous. Yani he has made it his way that if a person lives upon Islam, he will allow them to die upon Islam. And whoever dies upon Islam, he will resurrect them upon Islam. Therefore, حَافِذُوا عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فِي حَالِ صِحَتِكُمْ وَسَلَامَتِكُمْ لِتَمُوتُ عَلَيْهِ. So protect and preserve your Islam, especially when you're in good health and in safety and security, so that you may die upon it. If you live upon it, Allah's generosity will allow you to die upon it and to be resurrected upon it. And we seek refuge in Allah from anything other than that. So the Shaykh, he says that Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu interpreted the command of Allah, ittaqullah حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ, and he observed taqwa of Allah the way that he deserves, to mean remembering him and being thankful to him and being obedient to him. So look at every one of us. Yani everyone look at himself. Is this his state? Yani everyone look at himself and wonder, examine himself. Is this his state? Is he of those who are obedient to Allah and not disobedient to Allah? Of those who are remembering Allah and not forgetting Allah? And those who are thankful to Allah and not ungrateful? So if his state is weaker or below this level in any aspect of these matters, whether in the remembrance of Allah or in being grateful to Allah or in being obedient to Allah, then it is upon him to hasten to the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, having true taqwa, and to remedy this shortcoming. Not to leave it as it is, not to be content with our condition, but rather constantly yani examine oneself to see what is our condition, and if we find any shortcoming, and inevitably we will definitely find ourselves falling short in one area or another, if not in all of them, then hasten to the fear of Allah, to the true taqwa of Allah, and remedy this shortcoming. Then the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd Surah, 70th Ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah, observe taqwa of Allah, and fear Him, and speak always the truth. يعني قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يعني مُسْتَقِيمًا يعني a straight word that doesn't have any crookedness or inhiraf in it. And he's saying, and of course this ayat also requires some discussion. The Shaykh, he has not commented on it. He left it as it is. And he's saying, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hajj, 22nd Surah, 1st and 2nd Ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. O mankind, fear your Lord and be dutiful to Him. Yani observe taqwa of Allah. Verily, the earthquake, the shaking of the hour of judgment is a terrible thing, a tremendous thing. شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. يَوْمَ تَرَوْنَهَا تَذْهَلُ كُلُّ مُرْضِعَةٍ عَمَّا أَرْضَعَتْ وَتَضَعُ كُلُّ ذَاتَ حَمْلٍ حَمْلَهَا وَتَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ الشَّدِيدِ. Yani the shaking of the hour of judgment, and the shaking that would take place on that day, it is indeed an extremely, yani, it is a tremendous, frightful, fearful matter. The day you shall see it, every nursing mother will forget her nursling, and every pregnant one will drop her load. And you shall see mankind as in a drunken state, yet they will not be drunken, but severe will be the torment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, na'am, the Shaykh says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders them to have fear of Allah, and he encourages this matter using those things which inspire awe, that frightening situation which the Muslim must visualize. He must remember those events and happenings on that terrifying day. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to observe taqwa, yani to be obedient to Him and to avoid being disobedient to Him. And He is reminding us of this terrible time, this frightful and fearful day, and the severity of the fright of that day is such that the mother who is nursing her child will forget that child. And that's impossible in this world, that a nursing mother will forget the tifl, the baby that they are breastfeeding. But yet on that day, the severity of the fright and the fear is such that a nursing mother will forget her child, and the one who is pregnant will drop its load from the fear of that hour, premature. And you will see the people as though they are drunken, as though they are intoxicated. The people who appear to be intoxicated, and they will not be intoxicated, but it is from the severity of the punishment of Allah. And this is a scene, no doubt, it is a scene. Whoever visualizes it, it should yani awaken or give life to the heart that is dead or sleeping. and enable a person to come back to their senses and to observe taqwa of Allah. Indeed, the reality of the Day of Accounting is a reality that a Muslim must keep in the forefront of their mind as much as possible. The Shaykh says, oftentimes when Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions at-taqwa, He mentions that which inspires it. He said, Tabaraka wa ta'ala, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, the 5th Surah, 8th Ayat, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kunu qawwamina lillahi, shuhada'a bilqist, wa la yajrimannakum shana'anu qawmin ala alla ta'adilu, i'adilu huwa aqrabu lit-taqwa, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهِ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ O you who believe, stand out firmly for Allah as just witnesses, and let not enmity and hatred of others make you avoid justice. Yani don't allow your hatred or enmity with any person or people cause you to be other than just. Naam, even the people that you hate, be just to them. Don't let your hatred for them cause you to be other than just. I'adilu, rather be just. Huwa aqrabu lit-taqwa. This is nearer to taqwa. Wattaqullah. And observe taqwa of Allah. Inna Allaha khabirun. Allah is well aware, fully aware. He knows all about every detail of what you are doing. Allah is well acquainted, fully aware of what you do. Observe taqwa of Allah. Obey His commands and avoid His prohibitions. Indeed, Allah is fully aware of our every action and every word that we speak and even what we are thinking. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives this commandment and then He follows it with the command to have fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He orders justice, to be just, and then He emphasizes the matter by mentioning the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So, are we standing out firmly with justice and as witnesses for Allah now? Yani, is that our condition? Are many of us, from the bearers of knowledge, he means the scholars, and from the students of knowledge, standing upright upon this matter? In the correct way? If there are shortcomings from us, then let us return to Allah Tabaraka wa ta'ala, and let us nurture ourselves to be upright upon justice and to be witnesses for Allah, correctly witnessing in matters of creed with respect to individuals, in thoughts and in speech and in the methodologies of the deen. Yani, let us look at ourselves and nurture ourselves and make sure that we are upright upon justice and that we are witnesses for Allah in the matters of creed and in the matters of the things related to individuals, how we deal with individuals in our thoughts, in our speech, and in our methodology. We should not repeat, alaykum salam, we should not repeat the speech of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala without becoming ashamed. And yet we repeat the statement, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, while our actual reality is contrary to that. How do we repeat this statement? How do we repeat the speech of Allah and we are not ashamed that what we are saying on our tongues is contrary to our actions? Indeed, many people regretfully memorize these texts, but their actions are in one valley and they are in another. So beware, O Muslims, that the speech of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala should apply to us. Beware of being those who the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala applies to. In his saying in Surah As-Saff, 61st Surah, 2nd and 3rd Ayat, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Why do you say, yani, one thing and do something else? O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Most hateful is it with Allah that you say that which you do not do. Beware that this should apply to us. Having fear of Allah is an important matter, and the commandments ordering it are numerous in the noble Quran, and we cannot cover them all. So the Shaykh suffice with these ayahs from the Quran. And then he mentioned two hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, as for from the Sunnah, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ittaqillah حيثُ ما كُنتَ وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَاتَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا وَخَلَقَ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ. And this hadith is a Hassan hadith reported by Abu Dawud, Ahmad, Tirmidhi and others, from Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, and it's also reported in other narrations from Mu'adh and Anas radiallahu anhuma. Yani, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ittaqillah haythu ma kunta, fear Allah wherever you may be. Yani, fear Allah haythu ma kunta, yani, in whatever situation you might be, in every situation or circumstance, in every place and in every time, haythu ma kunta, wherever and whenever and in any situation that you might be in, observe taqwa of Allah. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَاتِ الْحَسَنَةِ, and follow up a bad deed with a good one. تَمْحُهَا, it will wipe it out, it will erase it. وَخَالَقِ النَّاسَ بِخُلُقٍ حَسَنٍ, and behave with the people with a good character, yani with the best of character, good, yani character and good manners. And this hadith is a tremendous hadith which is full of important meanings. And the Shaykh, he doesn't really go into the meanings of it, but we just want to mention in passing. First, yani, that this, as Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions in Al-Wasiyah al-Sughra, concerning this hadith, he mentioned this hadith and he said that from the important points that one should understand from this hadith is that this hadith is comprehensive in its meaning, and that is because it relates to both to the two obligations of the human being, that is, one's obligations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, and one's obligations to the creation, to the people. Yani, this hadith addresses both of them. Yani, the saying of Allah, ittaqillah, or the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ittaqillah haythu ma kunta, this is in reference to the rights of Allah. And wa khalaqan nas bi khuluqin hasan is in reference, yani, deal with the people, behave towards the people with good character, is in reference to the rights of the people. And this is the first point. And the second point that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said is that knowing inevitably that the human being is going to fall short in the rights of Allah, in observing taqwa of Allah, either by falling short in doing some obligatory duty, or in engaging in some prohibited act. So the Prophet ﷺ said, in order to fix, to rectify the shortcoming in the right of Allah of observing taqwa in every situation and circumstance, he said, وَعَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ, so follow up an evil deed with a good deed. Meaning, fix the shortcomings that we have fallen into in observing the taqwa of Allah by whenever a person falls into any shortcoming, whether it is engaging in that which is prohibited or failing to observe that which is obligatory, then they should follow up that evil deed with a good deed, and the good deed will remove it, will erase it, will wipe it out. And this will rectify some of our shortcomings. And for this reason, we should be constantly engaged in the doing of good deeds. One, for one reason, because they are good deeds, and this is what is expected of the Muslims. And secondly, in order to counteract our inevitable shortcomings in observing the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, we should mention that there are many ways that evil deeds can be wiped away. From amongst them is what is mentioned in this hadith, yani following up an evil deed with a good deed, because good deeds remove the evil deeds. But likewise, there's also the very, very important matter of a tawbah. And this is a subject in and of itself, yani observing tawbah. Yani this is one of the ways of erasing one's sins, by ceasing to engage in that sinful behavior, feeling remorse for it, making strong resolve not to return to it. And if we add to that, yani, the sins that are in reference to the rights, violating the rights of the people, returning their rights to them. Yani, we should add to that, that if it involves the rights of the people, that we must return their rights to them. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah said that this is one of the great ways of removing one's sins, and in addition to that, there's istighfar, yani seeking Allah's forgiveness, just making dua, asking Allah to forgive one. And these two things are different matters. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might forgive a person's sins just by them asking for forgiveness. But if they couple this with a tawbah, yani ceasing to commit that sin and feeling remorse for it and making a strong resolve not to go back to it, then this is even better. That a person asks Allah's forgiveness, and then in addition to that, they go further and they repent. And also from the means of erasing one's sins is being patient with calamities that may befall one. This is definitely one of the ways of removing sins. And there are a number of other ways. In the Majmu' Fatawa, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah mentions about 10 different things concerning that which removes sins, and these are some of the most important of them. Yani, seeking Allah's forgiveness, just asking for His forgiveness, making tawbah, and following up an evil deed with a good deed, in addition to that which we don't have control over initially, that is the calamities that befall us. But what we have control over is the obligation of being patient when a calamity befalls us. The Shaykh, he says, after mentioning this hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a speech during the farewell Hajj and ordered the people to have fear of Allah, the Exalted. And we'll stop with this hadith as we are at close to the time of sunrise. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a speech during the farewell Hajj, and he ordered the people to have fear of Allah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And in many speeches, he ordered the people to have fear of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is mentioned in the hadith of Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, yani, in which it is reported that he said, I heard from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving the khutbah in the farewell pilgrimage, and he said, اتقوا الله ربكم, yani observe taqwa of Allah your Rabb, وصلوا خمسكم, and perform your five prayers, yani your five obligatory daily prayers, وصوموا شهركم, yani fast your month, meaning the month of Ramadan, وأدوا زكاة أموالكم, and fulfill, yani take care of the responsibility of the zakat over your wealth and your property, وَعَطِيعُوا ذَا أَمْرِكُمْ, yani, and obey those who possess, who have control over your affair, yani أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْكُمْ, those who are in authority from amongst you, تَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ, then you will enter the Jannah of your Rabb, yani observe taqwa of Allah your Rabb, and perform your five daily obligatory prayers, and fast the month of Ramadan, and fulfill the obligatory zakat, and obey those who have authority over your affair, and you will enter the Jannah of your Rabb. And Shaykh al-Albani in Silsila al-Hadith al-Sahiha, hadith number 867, says this hadith is sahih. And this is these are the two hadith that the Shaykh mentioned, and then he says, many commandments to have fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala have been mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And in the Sunnah, obviously, there are many, many other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that could have been mentioned, and from amongst them, we will add the hadith of Salama radiallahu anha, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana yakulu fi maradihi Yani he used to say when he was sick. Yani, and perhaps this refers to the sickness from which he died. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي الصَّلَاةِ وَمَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. Yani, observe taqwa of Allah in reference to your salat and in reference to those, yani, whom your right hand possess, your slaves. Observe taqwa in reference to your salat. That is, observe it properly in accordance with the sunnah, in its proper times, with khushu'ah and with ikhlas and so on. Observe taqwa in reference to your salat. And in another hadith that's reported from Jabir ibn Salim radiallahu anhu, in which he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ittaqillah wa la tahqiranna min al-ma'rufi shay'an walau an tufrigha min dalwika fi ina'i mustasqi wa an talqa akhaka wa wajhuka ilayhi manbasitun aw munbasitun. And this is also mentioned by Shaykh al-Albani al-Sisrat, al-Hadith al-Sahihah, hadith number 770. Observe taqwa of Allah and do not consider any good deed, anything that is ma'aruf, anything that the Sharia considers as good, no matter how insignificant it may appear, do not consider it as being insignificant. Even if it is just, yani, pouring some water from your bucket into the container of the one who is seeking a drink. Or even if it is merely meeting your brother while you have a smile on your face. Yani, meeting your Muslim brother with a smile on your face. Even such things as small as this, do not consider them insignificant. Observe taqwa of Allah and do not consider anything of good, of ma'ruf, as insignificant. And the hadith are many, and the ayats from the Quran are many, and this is what the Shaykh has sufficed with, and we will stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any questions or any comments or any corrections, then inshallah we have a few moments. Yani, before it's time for the salah. Yani, it's sunrise now. We should wait a few minutes before we can pray. So, there's maybe 10-15 minutes before we can pray. If there's any question or any correction or any comment, inshallah. Naam.
Wa iyyakum. With regards to what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Anas, I believe, the dua, may Allah help me, Allah help me to remember you and be grateful to you and to worship you in the best of ways.
Naam.
When he said that that's after the salah, should it be after the tashahhud or should it be in the tashahhud?
There's a difference of opinion about it. Naam. Aqib al-salat, it could mean at the end of the salat, yani in the salat itself, or it could mean after the salat, after the completion of the salat. And there's a difference of opinion about this. I think Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, his view concerning this, as I recall, if I remember correctly, Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muslim al-Abad, hafidhahum Allah, I think he said that Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's view concerning this is that it is part of the salat, yani in the end of the salat before taslim. However, if we examine a lot of the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ used this expression, aqib, that we will find that in more cases than not, it is in reference to yani after the action has been completed, yani the end of something if after it is finished. And Shaykh Abdul Razak, he mentions the saying, yani the difference of opinion concerning this, but he himself, yani, considers that the stronger view of the scholars concerning this, and again we're saying that there's difference of opinion about it, the stronger view is that it is after the salah is complete. And Allah knows best. And these are two views of the scholars, and both of them are legitimate, yani linguistically it could have either meaning. So it is possible that it could be either one of them. And Shaykh Abdul Razak mentions this supplication in his book, The Fiqh of Dhikr and Dua. He mentions it in the section of the supplications that are said after the completion of the salah. And Allah knows best, yani, which view is correct. But if anybody does either one, the important thing is to say it. Whether it is in the salat at the end or after the salat, this is a supplication that one should observe with care. Yani, we should take it seriously. This is a very serious matter. The Prophet ﷺ swore by Allah before he made this statement to Mu'adh and there are other companions that this hadith, yani similar wording, is narrated from. He said in that narration, he said, do not leave off saying this supplication after every salat or in the end of every salat, whichever the meaning of it that we take. And in another narration that's sahih, I think it's narrated from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, or he said to the people, O people, if you want to yani yajtahid in your dua, then say this dua. And he said the same dua, but the wording is yani reversed a little bit, the exact same words, Allahumma anni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik, except that he said ala shukrika wa dhikrika wa husni ibadatik. So this is in a very important dua, and if a person reflects on the meaning of this dua, it will become clear that it's something that we are we are gravely in need of. This is a dua that a Muslim cannot do without, that we are definitely in need of, asking Allah to help us, to assist us, to support us in remembering Him. Because how often are we forgetful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Throughout the day, how many minutes, or rather how many hours, are we yani in ghafla, where we are not thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're not remembering Him, we're not praising and glorifying Him, we're not calling upon Him, rather our minds and hearts are somewhere else. So we are in need of asking Allah's help to remember Him, and equally important, to be grateful to Him. Yani it is obligatory, yani the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is obligatory upon a Muslim, and the favors of Allah are unlimited and they are continuous, unceasing. Therefore our gratitude to Allah has to be expressed constantly, continuously, yani feeling it in the heart, yani its place should be in the heart, and it should also be expressed on the tongue. And the manifestation in our actions, the manifestation of shukr, is that we are obedient to Allah and we use whatever He has given us in the way that is pleasing to Him. This dua is of the utmost importance, and in the end of it He said to help us to worship You in the best manner. And this also requires a lengthy discussion. Some of the scholars have talked about this hadith in detail, yani it's not sufficient. We can understand from this that it's not sufficient just to worship Allah, but rather that we should worship Him in the best manner, in the way that He deserves to be worshipped. And sometimes if we look at ourselves, forget about looking at the other people, if we look at ourselves, then we will be conscious and we will become aware of our shortcomings in the worship of Allah. And certainly we are not worshipping Him in the best manner when we don't even give care to our salat. Yani the way we raise our hands, the way we hold our hands in standing, the way we prostrate, and the way we perform ruku and sujood and so on, yani there's no doubt that we have fallen short. And these matters are of the utmost importance. If a person doesn't give care to their salah, then what will be the condition of the rest of their deeds? What will be the condition of the rest of their deeds? There's no doubt that the Prophet ﷺ has informed us in an authentic hadith that that which indicates to us the importance of the salat, and in particular the ruku and sujood. And in one narration the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as-salat thalathatu athlath, yani that the salat is divided into three parts, at-tuhur thuluthun, wal-ruku thuluthun, wal-sujood thuluthun, yani that the purification is one third of the salat, and the ruku is one third of the salat, and the sujood is one third of the salat. فَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا بِحَقِّهَا قُبِلَتْ مِنْهُ وَقُبِلَ مِنْهُ سَعْرِ عَمَلِهِ. So whoever performs the salat with its full rights, the salat will be accepted from him, and the rest of his deeds likewise will then be accepted. وَمَنْ رُدَّتْ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُهُ رُدَّ عَلَيْهِ سَعْرِ عَمَلِهِ. And whoever's salat is rejected, then the rest of his deeds will be rejected. So this shows us indeed the importance of the salat, and specifically yani its performance in its proper manner. And whoever realizes that we are not performing the salat, forget about the rest of our deeds, the salat, and that is the primary matter, if we are not performing it with care, then indeed it might be the cause of the rest of our deeds being rejected. Likewise, being rejected. And the Prophet ﷺ said in a hadith, the sahih, in this yani same area, that إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيُصَلِّ سِتِّينَ سَنَةً مَا تُقْبَلُ لَهُ صَلَاتٌ. Yani that there is a man, yani this is the case of the human being, not one person, but there is a person or there are people who perform the salat. Perhaps a person performed the salat for 60 years and not one of their salat will be accepted from them. فَلَعَلَّهُ يُتِمُّ الرُّكُوعُ وَلَا يُتِمُّ السُّجُودُ وَيُتِمُّ السُّجُودُ وَلَا يُتِمُّ الرُّكُوعُ. That perhaps this person has completed and perfected the ruku properly, but they have not done so with their prostration, their sujood. And the person may perform correctly and perfectly the sujood, the prostration, but they have not performed correctly and perfectly the ruku. And therefore it's incumbent upon us, for example, to read a book like the book of Shaykh Muhammad Nasiruddin Al-Albani, Sifat al-Salat al-Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that we will know the details of the salat and how to perform the ruku properly in its details, and then ask Allah's help to do it, to act upon it. How to perform the ruku properly, to know its details thoroughly, and then to ask Allah's help to do it. Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Indeed, we are in need of asking Allah's help to remember Him, to be grateful to Him, and to worship Him in the best manner. Inshallah, it may be time now. How does it look, Ya Khalid? 5 minutes? Taib. Any comment? Anyone want to offer some benefit? Naam, Ya Akhi. What's your name?
Abdullah.
Abdullah? Yes. Barakallah feekum.
I just was wondering about the verse that you gave from the Quran about, oh, you will believe, fear Allah, and fear the terror of the Day of Judgment.
Naam.
From what surah and ayah was this?
It's from the beginning of Surah Al-Hajj. 22nd
surah?
Yeah, 22nd surah, I think the first and second ayah. Wa iyyakum. Naam. Wa iyyakum. Barakallahu
fiik. That hadith, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika ila akhirah, it followed like the ta'rif of Ibn Mas'ud.
The order?
Yeah.
It contains the same. Naam. It contains the same components. Naam.
It's like the du'a is like the essence of
Naam. 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 And this is really the benefit of mentioning that supplication in that place. Because the definition that Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu gave for taqwa includes these components that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam commanded us to supplicate for help in these same areas, the same areas, the remembrance of Allah, being grateful to Allah, and worshipping Allah correctly, being obedient to Allah, and worshipping Him in the best manner, in the most excellent manner, not just worshipping Allah. Wallahi, yani all of us, there's no exception, we fall short. We fall short. And sometimes if we look at the people around us and we see how the Muslims generally pray, and we see that they don't give any care to their prayer, and in many cases they don't know how to pray, then sometimes we are content with our prayer in comparison to their prayer. But in reality, our prayer will not be judged by their prayer. It will be judged by our observance of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this requires care from every individual. In any case, the Shaykh, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, he has given us some good advice and reminders. Yani the most important of them, perhaps, is contained within the meaning of yani being careful of not falling into the category of those who say that which they do not do. This is something hateful to Allah, that you say that which you do not do. Do not be of those who recite the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and recite the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then we don't act upon them. And we don't feel even shame that we are saying these words and we don't act upon them. We don't feel anything. We hope that Allah will protect us from being from amongst those people. This is really an important matter. And it is really, yani, one of the dangerous things that we find amongst the Muslims today, that, and I've said this many times and I will continue to repeat it, that unfortunately we find amongst the people of Sunnah, yani those people who identify with the Sunnah, those people who claim that they follow the Sunnah, that we don't act upon the Sunnah. Yani we just identify it with our tongues. We identify with it by our tongues. But in action, yani, there is much to be desired. And this is a sad situation, that the people who are waving the flag of the Sunnah, of Salafiyya, that we find too often, many, not a few, but many, and I won't say most, and Allah knows best, but too many, we find too often amongst ourselves that we are people who espouse the Sunnah. We call to it, but how much of it do we observe? Yani, being of the people of Sunnah is not just saying, wearing the label of Sunnah, but being of the people of Sunnah is that we actually live by the Sunnah, that we act upon it. That the Sunnah is reflected in our lives, in our behavior, in our worship, in our aqidah, in our da'wah, in our manners, in our character, in all of that. Not just on our tongues. And we are the people who are capable of expressing the call to the Sunnah in words, but manifesting it in our lives might be a different matter. And the Shaykh said that perhaps, yani, our words, yani, what we are calling to and what we are expressing is in one valley and our actions are in another valley. That means that there's something wrong with this. May Allah protect us from such. Surah Al-Saff. That's 61. 61. It's not a long surah. I don't remember the exact ayat. Yeah, in the beginning of the surah. It's right in the beginning. Naam. Third or fourth ayat maybe. Naam. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Naam. Yeah, this is the information that we got yesterday. He was moved from the emergency center. He's moved upstairs. Room 53 on the 6th floor. Alhamdulillah, the brothers who saw Mustafa yesterday said he's doing a lot better. And the second day he was in the hospital, he improved somewhat, and yesterday he's better. Mustafa is an elderly brother. He used to sit against the wall in the chair in the classes. And, you know, he got very, very sick. His condition was really dangerous. Alhamdulillah, he had some good neighbors who found him almost going into a coma and took him to the hospital. And now he's in much, much better condition. May Allah grant him speedy recovery. He's definitely, Allah only knows what's in the hearts, but from what we can see, and we don't declare the goodness or the righteousness of anyone in front of Allah. Allah is the one who knows best, but he's certainly one of the brothers that has stuck with us and been consistent for a long time, and he has been helping the brothers in many ways, in whatever way that he can. And alhamdulillah, now we should at least be making dua for him. At least we should be making dua for him if we're not able to visit him. And definitely a visit to him is a tremendous affair, and there's a great reward for whoever does so. And he is indeed, he definitely smiles and is happy to receive the Muslim visitors. طيب سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك